For months, one of Pittsburgh's best-known arts organizations has been embroiled in an internal controversy over charges of sexual harassment and rape. Now the issue is going public, reports 90.5 WESA's Bill O'Driscoll.
Back in 2013, a young woman was volunteering and working part-time at the Mattress Factory, the cutting-edge contemporary art museum on Pittsburgh's North Side. One night, in her apartment, she was hanging out with a coworker she had formerly dated. She says he forced himself on her sexually.
I repeatedly told him to stop, and he wouldn't stop.
It was rape, she says, but she was scared to fight back. The woman, who requested anonymity, was 22, and like many victims of sexual assault, didn't report the incident to anyone.
I was too afraid to, because it's just so common that people don't believe women in this position or even men in this position.
She was traumatized, she says, and could not function at work when her attacker was near. So, she says, the museum asked her to stop working there. 2 years later, out of the blue, mutual friends connected the woman to a Mattress Factory employee who had been allegedly assaulted by the same male coworker. More of the women spoke to each other. Stories accumulated, including one of a second alleged rape in 2014. Incidents of harassment on museum grounds included unsolicited shoulder rubs, and the alleged perpetrator still worked there in the exhibitions department. WESA spoke to a dozen current and former museum employees, including five who say they were sexually harassed or assaulted by this same person. WESA reached out to the alleged perpetrator, who did not return messages seeking comment. All the women had kept silent. All those interviewed for this story say they love the museum, its mission, and its art. But one current Mattress Factory employee was fed up with living angry about her assault.
The more that I heard about things that he had done to my friends, the more angry and upset that I got.
In February, this woman, who also requested anonymity, approached Mattress Factory co-director Michael Olenek. An internal investigation followed. Olenek interviewed or took statements from a total of five alleged victims. A sixth would come forward later. In May, this second woman received a letter from Olenek. It said the investigation had been completed.
It acknowledged that there had been sexual harassment. It said that they took appropriate steps to prevent this from ever happening again.
But Olenek's letter didn't mention rape. And the only consequence of the investigation that it noted was that the male employee had been sent to a day-long sexual harassment training.
I would say I felt crushed because I felt like they weren't doing anything about it. I was concerned that he was going to be in a position to do this to other people who didn't know anything about him.
The chair of the Mattress Factory's board, Michael White, says they learned of the allegations and investigation in March.
This was a shocking thing for the Mattress Factory. I mean, we've never had anything like this happen before.
The board backed up Olenek's investigation. But the women who'd first approached Olenek thought the museum needed to do more. Many of her coworkers hadn't heard about the incidents, so she spread the word within the Mattress Factory. Nicole Hall, then the museum's development manager, initially thought that Olenek's response to the situation had been an oversight.
We really trusted him and felt like an institution as progressive as the Mattress Factory would surely do the right thing.
On May 16th, Hall and three co-workers hand-delivered Olenek a letter signed by 18 museum employees.
Well, he folded it and shoved it in his bag without reading it and said, "You know what this is right here? This is a libel lawsuit. This wasn't a thing. Now you've made it a thing." And then stormed off.
The letter asked that the alleged perpetrator be fired, and it demanded that the museum's board establish a clear and transparent process for dealing with future charges of sexual abuse. Olenek, the co-director, would be promoted to executive director weeks later, but the museum declined to make him available for this story. And that letter didn't get the results the employees hoped. Rather, numerous current and former museum employees say their work environment changed.
It became noticeably very tense at that point.
Katie Urich was the museum's marketing manager, and Olenek was her direct supervisor. The letter altered their relationship, she says. Urich is one of several who say Olenek verbally berated them.
He would kind of abruptly yell at me about work projects that, in some cases, we hadn't talked about for months.
Nicole Hall, the development manager, says at one point, in a conversation about wanting to continue working with her, her own direct supervisor told Hall not to discuss the sexual abuse matter at work.
I felt at that time that, like, my job was threatened by her.
All this happened just weeks before the death on May 30th of Barbara Ludorowski, the Mattress Factory's widely admired founder and co-director. Ludorowski had not been seen there for months. She and Olenek had spent 40 years building the Mattress Factory into an internationally known institution with 50 employees. and they lived together on its top floor. Even Mattress Factory employees with complaints about how the allegations were handled were sympathetic to Olenek during Ludorowski's illness, but they still felt disregarded and began approaching the museum's board directly. One big question is why the accused employee was permitted to keep working for so long. He left the museum only in late May, under an arrangement the museum declined to discuss. Often, when an employee is accused of sexual misconduct, best practices include suspending that employee pending the investigation.
And the reason for this is not disciplinary, but simply to get them out of the workplace.
Joseph Quinn is a labor and employment attorney with the Pittsburgh office of Cozen O'Connor.
You don't want them retaliating against somebody that comes forward. You don't want them harassing potential witnesses. Having them away from the workplace is the best way to conduct a thorough and fair investigation.
The Mattress Factory to date has not addressed these issues publicly. In response to a request for comment, the museum issued a brief written statement defending its procedures and affirming its, quote, responsibility to provide a safe, positive environment. Board Chair Michael White declined to discuss particular accusations of sexual misconduct, including the alleged rapes. He cited employee confidentiality and the fact that none of the accusers had filed criminal charges.
Again, I don't want to get into the specifics.
White also declined to explain why the accused employee had not been suspended or why anti-harassment training was thought appropriate for someone accused of rape.
You have to put that in the context of the entire investigation. And again, I don't want to get into those specifics.
White acknowledged that there were communication problems between Mattress Factory staff and management. He said the museum has hired its first dedicated human resources staffer and is revising its employee handbook. But many Mattress Factory employees remain dissatisfied. Several have left the museum because of its response. Katie Urich, the former marketing manager, was among them.
As part of my job, and I really believed it, I had been presenting the museum as a really progressive, feminist place in an art world that often isn't that way. And at this point, I just felt like I knew too much.
Monday, four women filed a charge against the museum with the National Labor Relations Board. Federal law protects employees who unite to address work-related issues. The charge contends that the Mattress Factory isolated, intimidated, and otherwise retaliated against employees who signed the May 16th letter. Megan Block, the women's attorney, says her clients don't want to harm the museum.
We're hoping that by filing the charge, management will be willing to sit down and have a real conversation with these employees about some of these changes.
An NLRB complaint is not a criminal charge, but it could result in a cease and desist order. In a statement, Board Chair White said that in response to the charge, the museum was launching an independent internal investigation. One of the women who signed the charge is Nicole Hall. Like several others, she called her time there her dream job, but she says the museum needs to do better.
I would like for places like the Mattress Factory to hold themselves to a high ethical standard that is reflective of their progressive values and not just attempt to get by with what is legal.
Hall herself left the Mattress Factory this month because of how it treated its own employees. I'm Bill O'Driscoll, 90.5 WESA News.
An expanded version of this story is available at WESA.FM.